Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started today, as always, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us where we're weak. And Father, we pray that you would just help us in delivering your message. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. And pray that you would touch the hearts of those that are listening. That those that are saved could be revived, strengthened, and encouraged. And for those that are lost, that they would see their need to turn and trust in Jesus before it be everlasting too late. For Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. Today we want to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." And I know we're stopping right here in mid-sentence, but I think this is a valuable thing for us to understand as we read here. Do you know that God does not want his people to be ignorant or without knowledge? That God shares a lot of things with his people. In fact, there's more that God has shared with his people, and I've studied and read the entire Word of God and gone through it, and I can tell you there's things still there that I'm missing, that I don't see. I don't understand yet. It's not that God hasn't given it to us. It's just that I've overlooked it, or just that God hasn't opened my mind's eye to see it. That there's so much that God has revealed in Scripture, and so much that he's given to his church and his people, whether it's wisdom, whether it's knowledge of sin, whether it's knowledge of righteousness, whether it's the knowledge of salvation, whether it's the knowledge of things that are yet to come, all contained within his word. And yet to say, I know it all, I don't. But I can tell you this, there's a lot within the Scripture that God says, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be without knowledge. He says, listen, I want you to know these things. I want you to know what you can depend upon. I want you to know what you can trust in. I want you to know what's yet to come. Even some of my plans and some of the ways I'm working things out, I want you to know these things. And they're to be known by the church. It amazes me, even when it comes to salvation, that even so-called Christians, and there's many of them, can't even understand John 3:16. Trust me, I've come across several that don't understand it. There's people that say, well, you can't know if you're going to be saved. Listen, we can know all these other things, can't know if we're going to be saved. Again, I'll refer you to 1 John chapter 5. I mean, it's very plain that God says, I've written these things unto you that believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. This isn't a questionable thing. It's a knowing thing. God likes us to deal with knowledge. God likes us to deal with understanding and truth. Now, we live in such a perverse world today that, you know, you have a lot of people saying, well, what is truth? Same thing that Pilate asked Jesus before Jesus was going to be crucified on the cross. You know, Jesus testified, I'm here to tell the truth. I'm here to represent the truth. And Pilate just goes, well, what is truth? The Word of God is truth. Jesus is truth. And there are fundamental truths that it doesn't change. It doesn't change because of your skin color. It doesn't change because of where you live. It doesn't change because of your background. It's just true no matter what. It's as sure as gravity. It's as sure as oxygen. And dear friend, there are some things that are just sure and steadfast. And we're about to talk about a subject today that is sure and steadfast. And God says, listen, about this, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. He says here, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And when he says asleep there, we understand that means asleep in the Lord, dead in this world, but alive with the Lord, and God's keeping them and keeping them safe. And And he's saying, listen, you got loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord. Not just people that have died, but people that have died in Christ. People that have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and now they're dead. By our standards, not by God's. Because with Christ, they've been made alive in Him and have an eternal soul. He says, this is concerning them which are asleep. And he said, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, one of the things that I've had to do as a minister over the years is go to funerals. I go to more funerals than I would really like to go to. Just the truth of it. In fact, right now, there's two that I'm having to deal with right here. You know, within the next few days. Might not be preaching them, but having to deal with them. Having to see family, it's lost loved ones. Having to see people that even some that go on to be with the Lord way too early. Things of this nature. But if they've trusted in Christ, not just joined the church, not just got dunked in the water, not just repeated some prayer or some of these other things, but they have repented in their heart and turned by faith and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. He says, listen, you don't have to sorrow over them as people with no hope. That doesn't mean we don't sorrow, does it? It doesn't mean we don't cry. It doesn't mean we don't suffer loss. It doesn't mean we don't have to deal with the separation that we have with them from time to time. But we have comfort through all that. But he said the people in this world don't have that hope. They go to the grave and they say, this is the end. This is all you've got to look forward to. This is all that you have. You had your time with them, now they're gone. You'll never see them again. God says you don't have to do that for those in Christ. You don't have to sorrow over them as those without hope. I've lost many loved ones over the years. People that I've pastored, friends, acquaintances, family. Lost them. And there's some that I've stood at the casket, no hope. They'd never trusted in Christ. They'd never shown any signs of repentance and faith in God. No hope. Nothing they could tell me if they had a day and a time that they could go back to when they saw themselves as a sinners and turned by faith and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, I hated those funerals. I despised them. I was sad. I was grieved. Overcome with sorrow. And still, you know, you deal with that the rest of your life because you say, well, there's... And you have to make the statement in your mind. You can't make the decision for them. You can't trust in Christ for them. You can't pray them through and do all these other things. You can't do that. But you know what you can do? You can focus on the ones that are here. But now I've also been to funerals of people that died in the Lord. And for my personal sorrow, there's been some funerals that I've cried like a little bitty baby. But I had hope. And when I talk about hope, I'm not saying some wishful thinking. That's not what the Bible talks about here. Some things get a little lost in translation sometimes, from Greek to English. We do the best we can to make the words what they are, translating them into a language that we can understand them. And it's not hard to understand what God's saying here. If you put it in context and know the Word of God, it's not hard. Word of God doesn't need to be rewritten. It just needs to be read in context. But what he's talking about here, just so that you understand, is when he's talking about hope, he's not talking about some wishful thing. He's saying you have an assurance. These people have no hope. These people have nothing to look forward to, but you do. I've got a granny and a pawpaw, got great grandparents, got cousins, Got people I went to school with. Got people I've got to preach to that had all hope. Might want to even reword that so you understand it better. I have all confidence in what they told me about them trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And on many of them, not only that, but also have the life that I saw, their true repentance in their heart and their desire to serve the Lord after they had trusted in Christ. Now, if I just saw their works and didn't have Christ, that would still be no hope. Please understand me on that. It's not their works that saved them. It was their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes you see that people's faith is just a show. It's a put on. And there's some people's faith that is real. And it gives you an extra confidence because they didn't just say that they trusted in Christ. They showed with their life that they trusted in Christ. It makes all the difference in the world. But when those people have passed on, and again, I've got some very dear and very close to me, every day I can sit back and say, I'll see them again soon. I'll see him soon. I have this confidence. I have this assurance. Why? Because God has testified. And it's the reason that I don't have to sorrow as others that have no hope. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Christ will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of God. Of the Lord. He's not saying, even as the writer, and we know the writer's being led of the Holy Spirit, and it is the Word of God. He's saying, listen, you're not getting this from Paul. He said, this comes directly from Christ. We know all the Word of God does, but he wanted to reassure them here, didn't he? He said, we say this unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. There is nothing that kings and rulers and even people of this world, we that are saved ourselves, even when the Lord returns, we're not stopping God's plans. There's a lot of people today that think, well, if we pass laws and we do this, we can stop this God stuff. We can stop Christ. We can stop hearing about sin. We can stop hearing about all these other things. We can stop, and you know, they think that they can change the plans of God, or they can change the will of God or the Word of God by what they do. We're going to do nothing to stop the will of God from being accomplished. Nothing. We need to understand that. When we're talking about His divine will and divine plan, when the Lord comes back to gather up His people, there is nothing this world or anybody on this world is going to do to stop it. He said, listen, we're not going to prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, when we read this, that they're rising first, God's just trying to place this in a way that we can understand it. A lot of these people are beneath us. Some are even in the sea. And listen, we're going to meet together in the air. So it's just common sense that, you know, they're going to be moving before we do. It's all going to be in an instant. It's going to be in the moment, a twinkling of the eye. It's not going to be like one happens and we're like, wow, did you see that? And then we go. That's not how it's going to be. It's going to be so fast. But God's trying to explain it to us in a way that we can understand it. He says, listen. He said, when this happens, when the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with that voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, he said, listen, those that are dead, those that have gone on to be with the Lord, he said, they come in first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them. Understand that? Together with them. in the clouds. We're going to be together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When he says comfort one another with these words, there's a lot to that verse. There's a lot to that verse because there's a lot of comforting going on. One is that we're dealing with the lost. We're dealing, and when I say the lost here, I'm not talking about lost sinners. I'm talking about people that we've lost in this life. That listen, he's saying, listen, you're going to grieve. You're going to suffer down here. But if they've trusted in Christ and you trusted in Christ, you know that you're going to see them again. You know it's going to be all right. And he says, listen, when you're overcome with grief, when you're dealing with these sorrows, and God understands we have sorrows. God understands that we have loss. God deals with all this. But he's saying, listen, I understand, but you need to understand. You need to understand. It's all going to be taken care of. Listen, I could start naming names, and I'd probably start with my granny and papa. I'd say, I know I'm seeing them again. I know their faith in Christ. I know what they believed in. I know who they trusted in. I know that their faith wasn't in their works, even though they had works. Their faith wasn't in their baptism, even though they were baptized. Their faith wasn't in their church membership, even though they belonged to a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible says is essential for salvation. And I can look upon the loss of them and say, I'm looking forward to seeing them again. Not because of some blind faith, not because of some other things, because I know who God is, I know how He keeps His Word. And to try to explain that to people who don't understand it or haven't experienced it. Listen, for them, they say, well, I don't understand it, or I don't comprehend this, or I don't understand how you can believe this way. Some just want to say, well, you're believing in some fairy tale. No, dear friend, if you actually know Christ within your heart and you have a relationship with Him, you know who He is and He knows you. Trust me, dear friend, you can't explain that to somebody who doesn't have it. They have to trust it by faith. They have to have it for themselves. And then once they have it, they will understand. And there's been atheists that have mocked God for years. And then something gets their attention and somebody points them to Christ and they trust in Christ. Then they understand. And there's been people who have been religious and a lot of false religions, a lot of other things, and they finally actually get to know Christ. And then they understand. And there's comfort. He said, comfort one another with these words. Now we also need to understand the time in which this is written, and it still applies just as much to us today as it did then. But I think a lot of Christians miss seeing that these people were under persecution. There were Christians actually being killed. And it would be even more so in the years that were to come, in the centuries that were to come. In all honesty, realistically, the past two millennia. There are Christians that for 1,000 years have been suffering. They've been suffering. Dying. 100,000 people that profess faith in Christ, around that number, died last year. Across the world. You'd think 100,000 people would get some news media attention, but it doesn't. You know why it doesn't fit their agenda? In all honesty, they don't care. And I say that as a whole, not as individuals. I know there are some individuals that do care. So don't mistake that. But when you're dealing with a group of people that is being killed for their faith. They're suffering so much, especially as they were at this day and time, and what they were sacrificing, and what they were giving up, and what they were facing. God saying, listen, you can have comfort in this. When you die, it's not the end. When you're facing what you're facing, and you're going through what you're going through, and listen, sometimes it wasn't for the individual that was facing death on their own. They could have faced that well enough. But sometimes they were seeing their children killed. Sometimes they were seeing their parents killed. Sometimes they were seeing their friends and their brothers and sisters in Christ. And to see all that and to endure all that over and over and over again can work on anybody's heart. It can tear anybody down. And he said, listen, you need to comfort one another with these words. That we know that when somebody dies in Christ, it's not the end. It's not the end. They've got something to look forward to. They have more ahead of them. And you get to see them again because of your faith in Christ. He's saying you need to comfort one another with these words. Turn with me, if you will, back to the book of John. In the book of John, chapter 14. Now this, Jesus talking to His disciples here, and He makes a statement to them in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. First statement He makes, let not your heart be troubled. What's He talking about here? Worry, grief, anxiety, all these other things. He's saying, listen, you can have comfort. You can be blessed. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let yourself get discouraged. Don't let yourself get down. He says, listen, you believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And He does that for every believer in Christ. And He says, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you know, if somebody's going to go and go through all that work, go through all that labor, and go through all that time, nobody's going to prepare a place if they're not expecting you. You know, before my son was born, we had to get some things ready at the house. My first child, you know. We had to buy that crib. We had to get it ready. We bought certain clothes, and we bought diapers, and we prepared. You know, I could go back to when I was getting married. I bought a house before me and my wife got married. Not only did I buy the house, I made sure the water was turned on. I got the electricity turned on. I made sure that we had a stove, a refrigerator, a table, some chairs. You know, a bed, a dresser. You know, just some things that we were going to need to have. What was I doing? I was preparing. I wasn't doing all that if I wasn't getting married. I wasn't doing all that work of putting that crib together and buying the diapers and going through all the work that we did there if I wasn't preparing for my child. God says, listen, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. And of course, they didn't fully understand all of what He was saying, but He was saying, listen, I'm going to leave here for a time. But what I'm doing is I'm going to prepare a place for you. And we see a lot of that preparation when we see New Jerusalem coming out of heaven. We know there's a lot more to it than just that, but that shows a home, an eternal home. What did Abraham look for while he was going through this life? It says in Hebrews chapter 11, he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was saying, I got a better place. There's a reason he went and dwelt in tents and did all that he did while he was here. And the Bible says, by his actions, he showed that he was what? A pilgrim in this world. This wasn't his home. Had something better. Christ said, listen, I go. And he said, and if I go, I'm coming back to get you. So where I am, there you may be also. I didn't want my son to stay at the hospital, didn't I? Had a place prepared. Didn't want my wife to stay living with her mom and daddy. Once I married her, I expected her what? Come live with me. Don't get that out of order. That comes after marriage. Once we were married, I expected her to be with me. And after I die, dear friend, or when the Lord comes and returns and gathers me home, guess where I'm looking to be? With Him. Guess what I'm looking for? For all the ones who have gone before me that have trusted in Christ. Looking to see Him. Not with some wishful thinking, but with a blessed assurance by the promise of the Word of God. You have that kind of eternal hope? You have that kind of assurance? Or do you suffer loss with no hope? Do you face death yourself with no hope? Do you face persecution and trials with no hope? That's part of the problem with this generation right now, isn't it? You know, we've had these mass shootings and stuff. If you had ever studied some common themes about most of these mass shooters, they don't believe in God. They don't have a relationship with God. And a lot of the children, listen, homicide rates just skyrocketing. And listen, there are some that profess faith in Christ, and I don't know what gets to all of them. I'm not saying that Christians are immune from it. We're not. Trust me. Been there. I've had people that have gone to church, even young people. I've had to go to their funerals. And some by their own hand. But you know, we're living in a day and time today when the world wants to take away all the hope that there is. And say that we came from nothing, we are nothing. And listen, I agree with the nothing part. I agree we're nothing. I believe we came from the dust of this earth and there's nothing of us in ourselves. But we are made in the image of God. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life through our Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, I'd be depressed too if my focus was down here. I'd be dismayed too, and I'd have nothing to live for too, if this is all I had. I got more than this. I've got a lot more than this. You? I know what I have in Christ. You know what you have? I'll say this. God offers freely to whosoever believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ salvation and adoption into His family. And if you'd like to hear more about that, our number is 601-544-7920. We pray this could be a blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, and for the good that is accomplished through it, let us step aside and give You the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.